This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Everybody, what I'm here to teach today, here to tell you something very important that should begin to happen from now before we meet in September for the final quarter prayer for the year. There are two kinds of power. There is the real power, and then there is the illusion of power. There is power, and then there is the illusion of power. Real power can be delegated. An illusion of power cannot be delegated. You always know if power is genuine from the kind of offsprings or fruits that power produces. When somebody says, "I am rich," you say, "Okay, show me how." The person then tells you of all his factories, real estate, you see all the evidence, you say, "Okay, you are rich." But somebody then says, "I'm rich," you say, "Okay, show me how." And the person begins to say, "Well, I'm a relative to, I'm a cousin to, I'm a brother to, I'm a sister to." Well, that person is not really rich. So that is an illusion. Somebody that is trying to piggyback on somebody else's success. In Christianity, there are two kinds of power. There is the power of God, and then there is the illusion of the power of God. A lot of prophets all over the world today, they sell the illusion of the power of God and not the real power of God. The real power of God is accessible. But many of us shy away from it because we have been told that it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of groaning, a lot of trouble. So we are like, okay, let us look for those who have found that power so that we can benefit from them rather than go to God ourselves. So oftentimes, that's how we end up with the ones with the illusion of power. Those who would make bold claims, but with very little result. But they keep shouting it. They will put themselves on TV, second Elijah, third Elijah, third Elijah Bridge, fourth Moses Bridge, second Joshua. And then when you listen to them speak, you realize they really don't know God. How do I know that in the next few months, you are going to walk in that power, the real power, and produce results? How am I convinced? It doesn't take 3 months for success to show. In fact, it doesn't take a week. In some cases, in just a day. However, the person who has received power, who refuses to put power to use, will not benefit anything of power. Someone who has received authority but will refuse to use it will not gain anything of authority. It is important that after a month-long season of prayer, you begin to produce results. I'm always very careful as a Christian not to turn myself into one of those Christians who pray all the time but have nothing to show for it. And then they will tell you, "Ah, I was in my prayer room. I was in my angel room. Shaka, 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 shaka. Legede, gede. And that's all they do. And their life is zero. No, 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 no. That's not acceptable. Some people think that winding the generator and it is making noise is actually what brings light. No. The point is, when you get to the generator, you start it, then it has to continuously produce light without you continuing, without you rolling it up and down. You have to take a step back now and refocus. Now that I've received power, what do I need to do? For the prodigal son, immediately he received an insight. What did he do? He left where he was. He left what he was doing. He left. Meaning that there are some of us here, you've been thinking for long, this office. Ah, every time I come to this office, I get depressed. Every time I don't even feel like coming. Oh God, this job, I hate it. It's always making me sick. Probably it's time for you to just man up and resign. And I'm sitting down with all my chest. I'll say, okay, let me re-strategize. This is not the job for me. I'll take a bold step away from it. Or you are somebody who has an office and you have some staff members and you know one or two staff members that have not been doing well and you are not very comfortable with the way they behave and you've just been managing it. You've been coping because you don't want to ruffle feathers. Perhaps it's time for you to sit down, restructure, and say, hey, it is time I take my destiny into my own hand and say things as they are. Come out as I am. I don't want to do that again. Like, I don't even see why anybody would tolerate anything if they don't like it. I mean, it's like, at least you should be to say, I don't like it. That's allowed. If you are here, you are timid. It is not the season for timidity. You are here, you are fearful. It is not the season for fear. You cannot pray for a whole month and go back to how you are. It has never been so for me. We started these prayers, I think, 2 years ago. If you look at the trajectory of my life since then, it has been tremendously, gloriously upward and forward. Everything I needed, every dead weight I needed to drop, they dropped in between that season. And everything I needed to pick up to fly, I picked them up. So I can say of myself that, hey, these prayers are very beneficial. The journey that many people that I know had begun 14, 15 years ago, some 20, when they look at me, they're like, ah, how do you do these things? But this is my secret. I pray. I wait on the Lord. I meditate and I act. I pray, I wait on the Lord, I meditate, and I act. I do not neglect the fourth action. I act. I ensure that in all my doing, I don't just sit down docile and say that we are praying, God will do it. No, 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 not me. God has given me the power to do, therefore I do. I do not sit down docile. I do not just sit down and tell myself to, what I do, and we are praying. After that, I'm doing nothing. No, 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 no. The same with those who are among us who are hoping, for example, to get married. Deliberately this season, I deliberately shut my mouth on it. In all my teachings, I didn't mention it for the whole month. And the reason for that is simple. I realized something so profound. I realized that nowadays, a lot of people would rather just sit down and talk about getting married rather than get married. People are beginning to like it, to join forums, you know, where there are forums of singles. All of them will form a forum and a quorum. They will not be there talking of about relationship. Oh, they will bring picture and video from Instagram. They will not be talking about it. Oh, see, yeah, better not marry this kind of person. Better not marry that kind of person. Better not marry this kind of person. When my husband will come, he will wear a golden glove. You wear a golden crown. You will not be dressing like paper here. You will not be looking at each other. People are beginning to enjoy that. It is becoming a very good pastime for young people who are supposed to be married. And the actual marriage, they are not getting into it. So I tell you that, okay, it's like all of us now, what you want to be doing now is to be discussing marriage. We don't want to marry. Okay. I will not join them. in discussing this issue, those who want to marry should get married. Those who don't want to get married should just leave the field for those who want to get married. Just declare, I declare that I'm single and I don't want to be married. My life is blessed. I'm a well-watered garden. Glory to God. And then go on your YouTube page and all your pages and declare, gloriously single, not looking to get married. So nobody will disturb you. You also not disturb anybody. Like Apostle Paul, like Jesus, glory to God. You are a shining, you are a burning and shining light. Go ahead and do that so that we can know this is where this person stands, right? And those who are looking to get married, please just get married. I mean that. So a lot of people think that when I say things like that, that, oh, be careful, this, nah, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Nah, be careful. And now 35, 38, 42, 50. Please, what is the carefulity of your carefulness at 50, at 47? Even if the person you want to marry is 60 years old, please, of what impact is the whole thing anymore? You see the by point? Because we have spent too much time talking about doing things than doing them. I'm not one of those people. I prefer to do things rather than talk about do things. Same thing with those of us who are trying to start a company, start a business, establish an NGO, travel, change jobs. It is doing time. That being said, Elijah was kept away at Sidon for a period of time. The day he emerged, he met a man. I'm trying to figure out his name now. And he spoke with the man. He said, hey, how are you? I think when his name is Obadiah. How are you? How are you doing? Oh, I want to see the king. That one said, eh? So that you disappear again. He said, I'm not disappearing anymore. I am back. That's what it means. After 1 month of prayer, what the next step is, I'm back. Like, I'm back. This time, I'm back. It's not a question of, oh, I want to pray some more. Some of us, we just use prayer as an excuse for inaction and ineptitude. And that falls under the illusion of power. People that will say, I'll just do 3 days retreat. You don't know me. When I do 3 days, God is speaking to me. Pra, 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 bro, bro, bro. They will never get to do that 3 days retreat in 10 years. I've had people like that. I left all of them behind. I'm not kidding. So I'm very result-oriented. So there are people that I'll meet at a season of my life. When I notice that this is your mindset and this is how your life is going, I will just move on. I don't make friends with mediocrity. I will just zoom. I won't even look back. So if I meet another person and I realize that, this person seems to be vibing with me on the same wavelength, we are praying, we are doing, and then I notice that the person gets to a point, is satisfied. He just says, this is all I want. I just want to marry and have a child. I've married, I have a child. I'm not resting on my oars. I'm moving on. There's more to my life than mediocre things. And I want to give you that challenge too. As we finish this 1 month of prayer, it is doing time. This is doing season. The month of July is a doing month. When I want to hear you speak, I want to hear say, I've taken this step. I have done this. On the issue of that paper, I made a call to the immigration office. I sent in a document. I filled the form. Okay, I then called somebody. Then I then spoke to somebody. I spoke to somebody also in Nigeria. Then I met with somebody, not doing anything at all. Not doing anything at all after a month of prayer is unbelief. It means that the whole month of prayer, you spent it waiting for, so some of us, when we are praying, we are waiting for the knight in shining armor that will swoop down from heaven to come and save us from our circumstances. So when we are praying, actually, what we are waiting for is magic. So we are praying, oh kakasha, hey, but what we are waiting for? What are you waiting for? is that somebody should come and solve our problem for us. So if after the whole month, nobody pops in to solve our problem for us, in our head, our problem, our prayer don't be answered, then we'll say we'll pray more. After praying, nothing happens, then you pray more. Then we continue to pray. And that way you pray about our matter for 5 years. Let me shock you. I don't pray any matter more than once. And I'm not kidding. I'm not one of those people that used to say, groan, kill yourself. No me. I've said the Lord before me. It's by my right hand. I will not be shaken. I know the word of God. Precept upon precepts, jot upon jot, teacher upon teacher. I know the word. I know what the word moves us to do. And I know what I will not do with the word. I will not sit on the word of God without doing anything with it. The word of God moved Jesus to the cross. Moved him to the cross. Moved him to start his ministry. The Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him and moved him. If the word of God is not moving you, you are in one place. You are incapacitated and you are in one place sitting on the word of God. Then you do not understand the gospel. Where you were last year shouldn't be there this year. That's the truth. All around me, people are experiencing strange growth. Businesses, people are writing to me, oh, our business has 20 outlets. Yesterday, a lady I spoke with, I think after PSNBC School 24, we had a meeting. She told me of her vision. And at that time, she had not started anything. And I told her, I said, hey, this vision is a good vision. Okay, let's work on it. Let's talk about it. We talked for an hour. Yesterday, when I saw her, she said, oh, I've gotten a place in Lekki. The place is now established. The future has become solid. I was so happy. In fact, when I was thinking through my day, because yesterday was so special, so I had to take it from morning till evening, in the midnight. I had to think through all the things that happened yesterday. I didn't want to miss out anything because of some of the things that happened yesterday. I really wanted to be sure that the dynamics of yesterday was different. And as I was thinking of it, I remember a testimony. I was thinking, this is just somebody that I met for 1 hour. And the things we talked about that were abstract, they had become real in our life. They had become established. They had become tangible. And yet, I know some pastors that are supposedly my friend. Who now call me daddy? Who now say, our father? They will now write to me. They will say, our father, apostle, sir, bishop, sir. Please, we just want to ask you if you can please support us with 30 million naira towards a project you want to do. And I'll be looking at them. These are pastors. But they have the title, but they do not understand how the word of God works. And because they are pastors, I can't teach them because I'm a brother. So because I'm a brother, I cannot teach those who are my seniors. So anybody that is my senior, who is not humble enough to deliberately learn, they should just be on their own. But for those of us who are willing to learn and at his feet, we must understand that there is a call and a response to the word of God. You do not pray for 30 days. And then there will be nothing to show for it. No way. No, as at yesterday, I could sense visibly that answers had come to all prayers. And I'm not praying. I shared with us what happened yesterday. If you are not on the CISO prayer yesterday, you can listen to it. And I know God spoke explicitly. I do not say he said when he has not spoken. And I knew everything that happened. I was like, wow. So doors are open. Answers have come. Okay, now, what's the next step? Immediately after that, I began to look at all the things that I really want to do now so that I can get them done quickly. Every 3 months, I do a review of my activities and I see where I've made progress and I see wherever I've dropped the ball so that I can note them. And I'm saying to you, that is how you must run this race. You want to make an album, this is the time. You want to start your own recording label, this is the time. You want to do any form of collaboration with anybody, this is time to make the initial move. You want to plant the church, this is the time. You want to start going out for evangelism. This is the time. God has called you to be a missionary. This is the time. This is not I'm praying more. This is not I'm praying more time. This is not I'm tarrying to marry. I'm tarrying to fire or tarrying to tower. You have tarried. You know how God told Moses and children of Israel? He said, you have waited on this mountain for too long. It's time to move on. Because sometimes you will stay in one spot. You will say you are praying. Before you know it, 30 years has passed. I guarantee I've seen it happen to many people several times. Several times. 30 years had gone. 40 years had gone. Somebody offered me a property somewhere. Person said, oh, have a property. If you want it, I want to give it to you. I said, ah, no, that place is out of mine. He said, ah, please, please. I'll even pay you money to complete it. I'll own it. I said, why? Why? I don't need the property. I don't need it. He said, ah, no, you have to understand why I want to give it to you. I said, why? He said, I bought that plot of land, 12,400 naira in 1992. And I just used my to build them. I just used my to build them. Until the whole place developed. And then that particular land, people built houses all around it in such a way that now there is no entrance into the place. You have to understand, those who are children, when he bought the land, they built houses all around this property. Now there is no road into the property. In order to give me a property where I will not be able to drive in, he said, but you know that when you get there, you talk to them, I know that they would create space. But I'm too old now to go to. So I just don't want that land to go to waste. I just shook my head. The dangers of not doing. The dangers of not doing, of just sitting on your hand and procrastinating and saying, I'm still praying. One day God will come down from heaven and build it for me. God will come down from heaven and buy it for me. Do not fall into that trap. If there's anybody that you had had issues with, that the Holy Spirit has told you, oh, call the person, make peace. Don't postpone it till tomorrow. Call the person today. If there's an issue to decide, because until decisions are made, actions will not be taken. Decisions precede action. So for those of us who have a problem making decisions, you are delaying the action. And without action, there will be no reaction. Without reaction, there will be no progress. You have to put everything in their order. So, we have prayed. God said, he has answered. It is time to act. It is time to act. It is one of those things that you can never catch me not doing. That is not acting. If the Lord says march, I march. If the Lord says jump, I jump. I say, okay, how high? If you don't act, you don't make progress. If anybody wants to get married, for example, a person remains unmarried till next year, this time, the person is choosing not to be married. It is not that the person is, that God has not answered the prayer. Marriage is a choice. That's the truth. As some of you may say, but what when we have not met the right guy or the right lady? Most of the time, it's the right guy. One of the things I like about men, they make their decisions and they move with it. The people that procrastinate the most about marriage are women. And that's why many of them lose out on the matter. There is more to marriage than selfish interest. There are people whose marriages are deliberately an orchestration of God to fulfill a purpose. And it's quite biblical. And many of us are quite selfish in our approach to things. So because of that, we don't even look at God's side. We are only looking at our own side. I told the lady yesterday, all this money that you have made, all this wealth that God has given you, if you go to meet the Lord today, they become dust. That's the truth. As I like to refer to her, that's the truth. She's quite wealthy. But she has refused to get married or have children. And she kept saying, oh, I'll do that later. I just have this deal to consolidate. I have that thing to single gate. She just was giving me all this big English. So I've spared her a lot. Often I'll just laugh and encourage her. But yesterday I just said, see, if you don't do something about the future, this everything you've gathered, the only thing that can happen to them is that they become dust. Because if you go to be with the Lord today, what that happens is that your staff members will steal half of almost everything you have. Your family members will share the rest and sell the rest. And that's it. That's it. That is it. So if you live your life chasing gold, chasing silver, chasing money, chasing all those things, you have to think beyond self. So I like the fact that she takes care of herself. She travels, she goes on holiday, she does vacations. I told her, I said, well, you are doing well. At least in your lifetime, you are taking time to enjoy the fruits of your own labor. Because there is nobody for you to hand it over to. Nobody. But if you really are thinking to go into more businesses, as I say, we have been praying for 1 month. So she called me and said, oh, but I mean, I'm going to give you an idea. And this idea is going to be very super. At least, I'll be able to make some millions of dollars out of it. And then I told her, so if you go into these ones, you make millions of dollars. To what end? People will just be looking at how to kill you. All those around you, they will just be wishing you dead. Because you'll be so rich, so they'll be you will stimulate greed in them. They'll just be thinking, ah, there's somebody to cuckoo, inherit. There's somebody she's living for. She's just living for herself. That's what everybody will be thinking. That's human programming. Human beings, if you are successful on your own, people will begin to be angry with you. They'll begin to think of how to take your success because it's an illusion of power. They are close to you, but they want to be you. So they are like, I mean, I have children, I have grandchildren, and this one has nobody. Only her, but so 7 of us, God. If anything happens to her now, and I just get 1/4 of her wealth, I'm made. That's how people talk. That's how people think. So children are also your safety. That's why the Bible said that blessed are those who have them in... He said, children are the inheritance of the Lord. He said, blessed are those who have a quiver full of them. He said, they will not be put to shame at the city gate. They will not be put... Do you know what that means? It means that at the city gate, when they are deciding history, when they are deciding things, when they need a witness... When this man goes to the city gate and he has 20 sons, every other man at the city gate will stand up and say, Twale, they know that he has daughters to defend him, to stand, to live up and continue his generation. When he signs a contract, it is binding because his children will honor it. But if you just chase all these things and you accumulate them, and you don't think of the future is thinking of you. You are the one that is not mindful. The future will soon be here. You have to think of those things. So these actions you need to take, the long term, the short term, you need to take them. It is not always for, hey, I want somebody that will be rubbing my feet. I want somebody that will be brushing my teeth. That's not always the reason why we take the necessary steps we take in life. There are steps you take out of fancy and out of all the, we may be talking, people may be typing all sorts of social media about marriages and saying, oh, marriage is bad. Marriage is evil. Marriage is this. I didn't enjoy my husband. Okay. My mother had, glory to God, 5 successful children. Today, we are pride and joy. I wonder if she didn't marry my dad, if she will have all of us. Every day, I bless God for her. Every day. Because of her seeds, there shall be a continuity. Only God knows how many grandchildren she has now. Only God knows how many great-grandchildren she has now. She did the marriage when she was quite young, and it was glory to God she did it. She had it. And so it is not the same way we look at it. When people are talking, I just look at them. There's a way poor people talk. There's a way wise people talk. Poor people are not wise, otherwise they will not be poor. Wise people are rich. Why? Because even though they may not have anything, their wisdom is wealth unto them. So there's a way poor people talk. And when they are talking, you will see they always talk from their feelings. Wishful thinking. Somebody should come and save them. Somebody else. Somebody, I want to marry a knight in shiny armor. I want somebody to come from heaven to bring me $2 million. A poor person will say, I just want one business deal that will give me $30 billion at one go. I will just settle all my bills. They talk like that and they remain poor. Those who think like that remain poor. The rich understands that everything is step by step, little by little. You accumulate things deliberately. You are building. You must build your capacity in order to agree with your level of wealth. When you are at level 10, you build your wealth to level 10. And then you have knowledge for 20. You build your wealth to 20. The more you build, the wealthier you become. So they know that God cannot give somebody who has never been exposed to wealth or anything so much money that the money will kill him because he doesn't know what to do with it. So that's how the wise think. And they also know that in building all your life, you must build it so that your life is complete. You don't build your life putting all the stack on one side, facing only business. It's only business I'm facing, only business. I just want to make money. That's all you are doing. And then you left all the other aspect of your fence unbuilt. Well, who lives in a house that he will say, I'm secure? They say, how are you secure? You say, my compound is one plot. So I built the fence on the left side. I built it very tall. And then I put barbed wire. I put all these things. So thief cannot come in from the fence, from the left. Okay, what did you do to the right side? I've not built it. The other right side, I didn't build it. So you have a land that has four sides, but you built the fence on only one side. Yes. How is that wise? How is it wise to build a fence on only one side? And you say you are protected. Oh no, the wise build the fence all around. That's the hedge. You are not supposed to leave anywhere open. So if you are looking at your life and only one side has been built, you are looking at it and all you can see is certificate from top to bottom. But on the other aspects of life, on your social life, in your marital life, in every other aspect, you are porous. Hey, this is the time to sit down and do some strong thinking and balance things. And balance things and begin to plan towards the other aspects and build them. There is no way you can't build them. You may not be able to get physically married anymore, in quotes. Maybe you are too old for that. But does not mean that you cannot plan and leave an inheritance for the right people that will build up your legacy if you will do things the right way. But for those of us who are still young, don't build one side of your fence and say that is wisdom. There is nothing as foolish as that. You must build all around. As you are building on one side, you build on the other. That's what we call a balanced life. So that when you look to your right, you find all the things that you want. You look to the left, you find all the things. As you are building your home, you are building your career. As you are building your career, you are building your business. There is nothing you lay your hands upon that will not prosper. That's the word of God. So why are you laying your hands only on one thing? Why are your hands only on? And do you have mono hands? Are you mono-handed? Okay, so I say mono-handed, somebody raised up their hand. It is where. It's time to do all the things that are supposed to do in the coming days. I'm asking you to take steps to send the mail, to write the letter. If you have been rejected for one reason or the other, for any reason, you have a mail that rejected and say, oh no, we cannot take you. Look for a place that is similar. Send them the same offer. The same offer. There is always a counter offer. There is always an opportunity. Look for somebody to talk to, but don't sit down and say, we are still praying. That is what I don't want. Don't sit down and say, God has not answered my prayer. Don't do that. In my life, I've heard the man of God who I respect and who I know hears from the Lord preach a sermon once. I never thought the sermon would apply to me. The man was preaching on seasons and action. Seasons and action. And then the man talked about David. And he said, when God poured oil on the head of David, David was 17. But he couldn't become king until he was 30. That was 13 years. 13 years. And why didn't he become king? Because he killed Goliath. And Goliath was the person God raised to help him kill Saul. So if he didn't kill Goliath, Goliath would have killed Saul and he would have become king. But he killed Goliath for Saul. And so he gave Saul extra 13 years in which he should have been king. He gave those 13 years to Saul. And Saul didn't know that he benefited of David's largesse. Saul wanted to kill David. So David had to run to the land of the Philistines to spend some time. And then David came back to Israel. Saul went to fight the same Philistine people again, and they killed him. And when he died, okay, David then became king. He said, do we know that there are some people, when the Lord opens a door of effectual opportunity unto them, and they don't take it, he said to some people, the door will not open again until another 10 years. Except for some people, until another 5 years. That many of us will assume that if I miss the opportunity, I'll just pray again and God will give me another opportunity tomorrow. He said we should look at it, that things do not align. Things don't just align mistakenly. When things align, the wise see it and say, ah, why is everybody here? Remember, the sons of Issachar vision, they just came one day and they were like, ah, why have you not made David king? Why have you not made him king? He's here. His soldiers are here. He's at Hebron. He's already acting like a judge over you people. It is time to make David king. And all of them just agreed one day and they went to carry him and they put oil on his head and they made him king. That would be his second anointing. That would be when he became king over Judah. That why didn't they go to meet him when he was at Achish? Why did they go to meet him when he was at Keilah? Why did they go to meet him when he was in the land of Philistine? Why was it that one day everything just aligned and it worked for him? So for that alignment to happen again, may take some time. And you must note it, that time and season, God is the orchestrator of all things. So again, when things align, they align. I needed to do something last year. I needed to do something personally for my own life last year. My mother was not around in Nigeria, she was abroad. And some things happened and I was like, okay, let me come home. So my mother came home. My mother came home, simply just come home, spend some time with me and the family and then travel back. And then an opportunity just came out of nowhere for me to get that thing done. And I thought to myself, okay, if I say I'm not doing it now, my mom will go back. Maybe she will come back next year. That means the opportunity will come again next year. So I have to wait for a whole year. When my mother is around now. So I got it done immediately. I didn't even think twice. I said, mommy is here. My brother is here. All the people that should be there are here. Okay, I'm getting this thing done. I got it done immediately. That's how to do things. Not give excuses. And then all the people that are supposed to be together to get things done, they will then scatter because nature then brings us together and then nature again scatters us as everybody will pursue their own life. And then you will not be begging this one, come. You will say, I don't have time. Now that one, come. Ah, maybe next year. Another one, come. Maybe in 3 years' time. Then you notice that the opportunity that you had to have gotten things done, you messed it up. No, don't allow that. The doors were open unto us into victory and successes on every side by the Holy Spirit, back according to his own word since yesterday. Somebody wrote to me after that. Something happened in China. Somebody wrote to me. Something happened in Kuwait. Somebody wrote to me in Abuja. Somebody opened. People are writing to me all the things that are happening. Oh, God has really opened the door. God has really opened the door. But I said, okay, not all of us will fly at the same time. Eagles fly. Abi, not all of us will fly at the same time. Some eagles will fly early. Some will fly later. But no matter what, all the eagles that fly, they must come back with their catch, with their prey. They must come back with something. They must not come back empty-handed. Every one of us, none of us must come back empty-handed. The things that you have, that the Lord has laid your heart to do, that you have indicted to do, given the marching order, go, you must come back with testimony. You must come back saying it has been done. You must come back. That is the mandate. To come back and say, I left in the name of the Lord. The word of God went before me. And I came back with my sheaves. I came back with my profit. I came back with my business. I turned an abstract idea into wealth. I got married. And God sorted out every other thing in between. I was able to achieve this. I was able to achieve that. Those are the things that matter. Those are the things that matter. Those are the things you must focus on now. If you notice that you have tilted to one side more than the other, it is time to relax and say, hey, I remember I was telling one of my sisters, thank God, thank you, Jesus. She's going to get married in August. When I saw her last year, I was at the UK and I met her, and she told me she's doing a third PhD. I became worried. In my head, I was thinking, okay, when you finish reading the whole world, what will somebody like me read? You have done one PhD in Nigeria. You've done another one. You are doing a third one. But I knew at the time that she wasn't married, and I knew that it's one of those things she wanted. So I told the Lord, at the UK retreat last year, I said, Lord, this lady, please, before she will become wife of Book, please help her. Joy to me, joy to the world, because I know it was tilting to one side too much. It shouldn't. The life of a Christian is a well-watered garden. It means there is no dry patch. Everywhere it turns to is well-watered. Where his businesses, the Bible says, everything that you do shall be blessed. His businesses flourish. His children flourish. His home flourishes. His ministry flourishes. Everything that he does, if you turn to the right, she's flourishing. Turn to the left, she's flourishing. This is the word of God. And that means you must make deliberate attempt to water the places that are desolate, that you can see that, in this area of my life, nothing is happening there. Then you focus attention on it. Why do many of us shy away from the areas of our life that need the most attention? It's not as if I wasn't like that before too. I used to like writing and English more than math, so I'll focus on it. And then people say, no, focus on the one. You know this one is your strength. Focus on this one that's not your strength. I'll be like, nah. But when it comes to life, you shouldn't be like that. Of course, it is important that you make deliberate efforts to ensure that the whole of your fences were built all around, not some. It is not a question now of God, when will God give me power? It's not a question of I'm waiting for an alarm to ring from heaven. It's not a question of I'm waiting for a word from God. God has spoken. God has spoken. When Jesus Christ told his disciples to go out two by two, he said they shouldn't take anything. He said they should just trust his word. He said, go in my name. He said, go in my name. When you get to any city, tell them you have come in the name of Jesus. And then ask them, where can we sleep in this city? He said, they will give you a place to sleep. He said, if they don't give you a place to sleep, take off your shoe, dust it, and move on. That was the kind of thing Jesus Christ, the kind of audacity Jesus gave disciples. He was telling them that nobody dare reject you. But if anybody rejects you, even the dust of your shoe will bear witness against the person that you came bringing peace and that they rejected your peace. So you took your peace with you. When I read the scriptures and I saw it, I said, my God, this was some years ago, maybe less than 10 years ago. I read it and I said, this is a win-win situation. If I want to preach to you, Grace, I come to preach. You said as you get out, then I take off my shoe. I say, okay, I'm going. This dust will bear witness that I came here. And then I begin, you'll be like, hey, come back. Because that means I've done what the Lord sent me to do, which means I will get the blessing of obedience for doing what I should do. Now, if the person does not receive it, it is not on my neck. It's not my fault. Glory to God. But I've done what I should do. Now, if the person receives it and the person becomes a Christian, then I've gained the soul for the kingdom, which means Not only will the Lord bless me for obedience, even I will delight in the result of my work, which is the person that I've brought to the kingdom. So there's no losing. It really blessed me. It helped me to focus how I make my decisions. I will bullish in my way, but I'll go. So after that, I began to go into nations that where we had nobody, where JWMI has not been known. I said, no, I'm going there. I'll go there. I would be deliberate. Because I know that he has said, do that. Do that. The dust will bear witness that you came. The dust will bear witness that you came. It is better than just sitting down and saying, Father, send a lot of fire. No, go. That's what he said. And I'm giving you the same mandate on this call today. Giving you the same mandate. The word of God has come to us. We have prayed, we have tarried 24 hours every day for a whole month. By the time we are coming back to do it in September, it is not that we are doing it because our previous prayers were not answered. It is because it is a 3-3-3 month cycle. By the time we get to September, I should have all my testimonies in between now and then. I'll be able to say, thank you, Jesus. See the progress I made in the last few days. See the progress I made in the month of July. See the progress I made in the month of August. See the progress I made in the month of September. Then when I'm praying, I'm giving thanks, and then I'm putting together my focus to the end of the year. That way, not only are we making progress in all the endeavors that the Lord has committed into our hand, we can also count our blessings and name them one by one, and be sure that we didn't leave anything undone. So please, I've got a message from the Lord, and the message is true. He that would heed to it shall prosper. But it will be in bad taste to sit down and do nothing. I had a pastor friend who was called into ministry in 2006. He was actually my convert when I was in the university. And then in 200 level, he left the university after he became born again when he was 100 level. And then he left for another school, for Lautech, and from Lautech, he became a pastor. And then he reconnected with me on Facebook after JWMI started some years ago. By then, he had been established in ministry. But established the ministry in the wrong way. He had met some other people, and they had all began this prayer, whatever they are doing, and they would, people can complicate very simple things. And so he too wanted to have a mountain where people can come to be praying. He was raising money to buy a mountain top. And he came to me, and he told me all his endeavors. Maybe he was expecting that I would clap for him. I said, I can't celebrate this. This is mediocrity at its best. You've been doing this gospel for over 20 years. Is this the best? He said, that's where God has helped us. I said, no. Come for our prayer. Join online. From wherever you are, don't say you have pastoral ministry. Just suspend your activities. Behave as if you are going for a 1 month retreat and join JWMI prayer for the month of prevailing prayer of February last year. I said, join this prevailing prayer. Don't reach out to me. Don't ask me for money. Don't beg me for anything. Just join the prevailing prayer. Forget the things you've learned from all the other people you met. All the pastors said this. I see the word of prophecy, all those things, throw them away. They are from illusion. Illusion of power is not power. When I have direct access to God, I do not need anybody. I don't need a third party. I personally, I've never, and I will never have anybody that I will go to and say, Daddy, pour oil on my head. Never. It will never happen. I know God. I know the Holy Ghost. I have a fantastic relationship with my Father. That's enough. I count all those things as dung. They are not necessary. I want to walk with God. That's what I told him. At that time, he found it a bit difficult, but he did it. 1 month. Do you know? After prevailing prayer of February, he wrote a letter to a mission school in Texas. And he told them that he has a ministry in Nigeria, but mission was not doing well. He would like to come for some training with them so that he can understand the way they do things. As soon as he got the letter, it was as if, but it's not as if it was God, because the person that received the letter, he got it in his mail in his house. It was the provost of the school. So the letter was supposed to go to the school, but somehow the letter went to his house. So normally, the letter shouldn't have gotten to him. It should have gotten through their channels and somebody will read it and throw it in the dustbin. But this letter came to the provost. So he opened it himself. He read it. And then he called this brother's number directly from the US. He called him and the brother picked. And he said, I don't know why your mail came to me. It shouldn't have come to me. It came to my home address. But I can say that you addressed it to our school, but the mail came to my home, to my house where I live. So that kind of mistake has never been made before. This is American Postal Service. They can't, but well, I've read your message and I believe that means God wants me to do something about it. So the man arranged for him to come to the US for a 6 month course, fully paid. He went to the US. Learned one or two things. I came back to Nigeria. If you see his ministry now, well organized, and he has done away with all those. He never missed. He's listening to me as I speak. That is what I mean by taking action. Knowing God for yourself, taking action. Don't, it's all about, oh, this is the path somebody followed. That's the path somebody followed. No. Every one of us, the Lord orders our footsteps. But you must write the imprint of your own footstep in the sands of time by taking a step. So please, pay attention to my words today. Act on them. The land is green for you. The land will give you its increase in 100-fold. The country you are dwelling in, that country will produce supernatural results for you. Water will come out of rocks. Help will come out of nowhere. In dark alleys, the Lord will be your light. In the realm of business, the Lord will be your wisdom. Where they say there is so much corruption, like a den of vipers, the Lord will be your shield and your exceedingly great reward. He has given you his word. He said, I will go with you. I have opened the door for you. Walk in. Don't hold back. Don't say a dream is too big or say it is too small. Don't say, I will sit down here and somebody comes to help me. The leper said, if we sit down here, we will die. If we go to the Samaritans, to the enemy camp, we will die. He said, it's better to go to the enemy camp, only to get there and discover that there was more than enough food and there were no enemies. It is time to take a step of faith. Today is the last day of June. By after prayer today, by tomorrow, be talking moves, talking steps, be shooting your arrow. The Bible said, one archer shot at a venture. At a venture. That means he didn't set. He just shot his arrow at a venture. And the thing hit Ahab on the neck, kill the king by a venturous arrow. Shoot. By the time the ships will begin to come, I do not want it to speak for lack of action. I want it to be that the Lord has made everything I did prosperous. Everything I did, He prospered it. That thing gives you confidence. Everything I do, everything I did, every life I have touched, every life I have touched, I can say it, that I touch lives, and that every life I have touched, they will come back saying glory to God. They will give testimony upon testimony. It is because one day the Lord said, go, and I said, okay, I will go. Because I know He will not go for me. I have to go because He has told me to go. And I'm saying the same thing to you. In 6 months' time, in 1 year's time, when you are beginning to share your testimony, you begin to give testimonies of how you have been a blessing because you followed the instructions of the Lord and you went. That will be your story. It's time to give our offering. Today, we are giving a thanksgiving offering to the Lord for the end of the prayer meeting of the Dominion prayers that we've had for the past 1 month. For those of us who are hoping to listen, some of the teachings again, I was told that they are now available on some platforms. I don't know which one, but they will announce it to us so that in case there's anything you miss, you can pick it up. As you give your offering, I'm declaring it that not only has the Lord opened the door, every door you step into shall produce for you the fullness of your reward. No matter the nation, the nationality, the language, no matter the orientation or the religion of the land where you are shooting your arrows, you will hit your target. Hearts will open up unto you on their own accord. God will raise a voice for you. God will raise people for you. There will be so much joy when people cite you. On the emotional side of things, the Lord will sort things out for you miraculously. I'm happy. One of the sisters spoke to me, oh, I'm moving to my property. I'm completing it Lagos by August. It gave me so much joy. Somebody wrote to me, oh, God has given me a house. All those things, those will be your testimonies. Not only will you be sharing the testimonies with me in words, you'll be sending videos, pictures. You'll be sending pictures. You'll be thanking God, and people will be seeing God in your life, and you'll be sharing the testimony live. We will all rejoice with you. Your children will not be poor. Your children will lend unto nations. The word of God shall work for you. When they say, oh, there is no way, boldly you will declare there is a way for me, and they will make a way for you. They will make a way for you. They will open the door wide for you. You will step in the name of Jesus. I declare that faith in you is boosted. Strength is boosted. You are strengthened. You are strengthened. Ideas are roaring in your mind, and you are putting them to work, and they are producing results. I declare it. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to the Lord on your behalf. I'm praying for you. I'll continue to pray for you. You will do well. When you look behind you, you will see the angels of God. You will see ministering spirits urging you on, charging you up. You will not be weary. You will not be tired. You will be strengthened in the Lord to achieve great and mighty things. In the next 2-3 years, when you look back, you will see that this is the turning point of all the stories and the fulfillment of all the promises of God for you. Thank you, Father, for this is done. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody who is blessed shout, glory!
Glory!
Glory to God!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you. and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.